is episode 50 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Jeffrey Mishlove's book, UFOs and UAP, Are We Really Alone? When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And so if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to be reading from Chapter 4, which is Human Encounters with Aliens, Part 1, Abductions and the Western Paradigm with John Mack. So what this is a transcript of an interview between Jeffrey Mishlove and John Mack. It starts with Jeffrey Mishlove, and he says, "Today we will be exploring human encounters with aliens. This is part one of a two-part series with Dr. John Mack, a professor of psychiatry at Harvard University's Cambridge Hospital. Dr. Mack is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author of a book entitled A Prince of Our Disorder, which is a biography of T.E. Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia. He is also the author of Abduction, Human Encounters with Aliens. Welcome, John. It's good to be here, Jeff." Jeff says, "It's a pleasure to be with you. Traditionally in psychiatry, if a patient were to come to you and report they'd had contact with alien creatures, it would be almost automatically assumed, I think, that this person is likely to be psychotic." Mack replies, "That was my initial reaction when I first heard about this type of case. A colleague of mine, a woman psychologist, asked me if I would like to meet with Bud Hopkins. This was in the fall of 1989, and I said, 'Who's he?' which showed how little I knew about this subject at that time. She said, 'He's an artist in New York who works with people who report being taken by alien beings into spacecraft.' I said, 'Oh, he must be mad if he takes that seriously. This must be some new form of mental illness.' She said, 'No, no, it's very serious.' 'So, do you want to meet him?' Rather reluctantly, I agreed to meet with him one day in New York, January the 10th, 1990, a day that changed my life in certain ways. What struck me about what Bud Hopkins had to say, aside from the facts that he was not mad at all, but a very intelligent, thoughtful, discriminating, and caring person, were the accounts of, at that point, close to 200 people that had had similar experiences. These people were, as far as I could tell, of sound mind. They described in great detail that they had been taken on beams of light generally by alien beings out of their homes, cars, in the case of one woman from a snowmobile, and children from schoolyards. They were 3.5 to 4 foot alien beings. That was the most commonly described variety, into spacecraft and subjected to invasive procedures. These people did not know each other, and they reported their experiences very reluctantly. He had written an article about an abduction case that drew them to him. They didn't want to believe it themselves. As far as I could tell, and this has become clearly established, having worked with 90 such people, there was no apparent psychiatric illness that could account for this. In spite of what people say, well, there was a lot about this in the media and they must have picked it up. These are not people that had been particularly exposed to media accounts. In any case, they were reporting many, many details that were not in the media." Jeffrey Mishlove says, "What you've just said obviously raises many, many questions, and I'm bubbling with questions to ask you. But the first one that I want to come back to, you use the word spacecraft. How would they or you know that what they saw was actually a spacecraft?" Mack replies, "Sometimes the person has not seen the spacecraft, but often they have. In a number of these cases, they've floated through the wall of their home, through the window or through the door. Again, many of the details of these experiences make no sense in our Newtonian, Cartesian, Western, whatever you want to call it, notions of reality. Yet the stories are consistently described with, again, the self-critical attitude that the people have. They may see a typical unidentified flying object, a saucer-shaped or cigar-shaped vehicle on the ground near their home, emanating bright lights, or they may be taken by a small craft up into the sky to a kind of mothership, which they see very clearly. Many of them actually see the UFOs, and the insides are so uniformly described as rounded, curved walls with complicated instrument panels that it becomes clear that this is some kind of craft in the sky, which they would naturally call a spacecraft. Mishlaff says, "I think people would naturally draw that inference, but to me, it's still an inference. I think you might agree, we don't really know exactly what these things are." Mack replies, "Fair enough. This gets into the way of how we know anything, or our use of language. But we call something which is seen in the sky, and which seems to be moving from one place to another, a spacecraft. This has to do with where our own technology has come from. It could be virtual reality that appears similar to what we already know as an airplane, or a certain type of aerospace vehicle, so we call it a spacecraft. But if you want to get down to the very core of the way language structures reality for us, you could even question whether they're spacecraft." Mishlaff replies, "You've described in your book cases that were reported back in the 19th century of people who talked about airships." Mack, "The article is by Jerome Clark, who's been a student of the UFO phenomenon for many years. He looked back at the newspaper accounts during the airship craze of the last decade of the 19th century. Many of those illustrations look like balloons or the technology of the time. But he went further than that. He did an exhaustive search of all the photographs and the descriptions he could find, and, lo and behold, many of them did appear very much like the current modern-day UFO. The people of the time did not have the technological knowledge to describe them as what they were. So he concluded that these were probably UFOs, not so different from what we're seeing now. The 19th century perceptual development hadn't reached the point where they could be perceived the way that we think they are. Again, you're raising the question whether even that is actual or constructed reality." Mishlaff asks, "We could take this in so many different directions, but let's go back further into the past, because the accounts don't just begin in the 19th century, do they?" Mack, "If you go back into the early times, there is Ezekiel's wheel from the Bible, which now many ufologists think was a UFO, or chariots seen in the sky. Go back to the fairies that kidnap people in Ireland and other countries. There are some similarities. Similarities, but you're dealing with oral traditions, and it's an easy leap of mind to say, well, we've had this going on all through the centuries and through the millennia even. The problem is the methods of knowing then are so different from current knowledge. To compare a phenomenon, you have to use more or less the same investigative method, and our methods and perceptual capabilities now are so different. The people that were reporting those experiences weren't being studied clinically. When somebody's had an unusual experience, or something that doesn't fit, or you want to investigate, you talk to that person in great detail, or you speak to other witnesses to find out what they've seen. We now have a body of investigative tradition that can document what's going on. From that point of view, this appears to have some distinct features. It also appears, now I'm getting more into my own kind of sense of this, that this thing is entering into our reality in a more hard-edged way. The first case that we have is that of Betty and Barney Hill, the interracial couple that was coming back from their vacation in Montreal and who saw a craft that emanated this bright light. They actually saw and were confronted by these creatures. They were terrified. They were taken in and each reports various experiments that were done on their bodies, skin scrapings, probings, and the accounts compare. Since that time, more and more cases are being reported, and it appears that the phenomenon is occurring with greater frequency now than in the past. But again, we don't know that. This week I was reading from Jeffrey Mishlaff's book, UFOs and UAP, Are We Really Alone? If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support this podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And if you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.